I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you all. I should tell you a little bit of the backstory of how this took place, I feel like, because I really feel like I'm out of my league here speaking to college students. Actually, I'm a college student right now taking a master's class, so I'm right there with you in the classroom remotely, I guess. Dr. Anderson, as he mentioned, got to visit with him, get to know him over these past 3 years. And we were at an educators conference in Kansas City, Missouri. And again, out of my league, at a table with Dr. Anderson, Dr. Walton from the AACS, Dr. Les Ola, if you know him, and some others at a table, really servants of the Lord, people that I really respect and look up to. And the person in charge, if you know a gentleman by the name of Matt Williams, Dr. Williams, asked that we all give a testimony. And so everybody at the table, he likes to do things like that. So we all went around and gave a testimony, which was great, getting to hear Dr. Anderson's testimony that he gave and all these other men. And then after we were done, we were walking back to the hotel room, and he just mentioned to me that if I was ever on campus again, I've been here a couple of times, that maybe I could share a brief testimony in chapel. So I was like, okay, I'll share a testimony if I'm there, thinking that probably isn't going to happen, but it might happen. I might be back up this way. And then the next day, we talked a little bit more, and I said, well, if you really want it to happen, probably should schedule at some point for me to be there. And I could kind of tell maybe it was changing into a chapel message. At least this is how I remember the story. He might remember it differently. But I'm still thinking maybe a year or two down the road. And then the next thing, I get an email from Megan, and she said, hey, we've got some openings this semester. And so I was like, man, why did I, you know, was I sure that I should have said yes to this? And because I always preach to the students that when the Lord opens a door, that you need to trust him, that he'll help you, whatever he's called you to do. So there it was, time for me to listen to my own advice. And so that's how I wound up here today. And I don't know if I sound nervous, but I'm extremely nervous up here. And I always get that way when I'm talking to college students, actually, or a group of elementary students. I just take very seriously anytime I open God's word. And when he asked me to share specifically, he shared this a little bit in his introduction, but our ministry that we have, it's really a unique ministry. Maranatha Baptist Church is right outside of Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. And Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri is one of two Army bases for basic training in the United States. And so if you know anything about basic training, usually whenever you mention Fort Leonard Wood, the few people that have been do not have good memories of Fort Leonard Wood. They're very, very bad memories, and they don't stay. People just roll through. There's up to 30,000 people on the base at any one day when we're out there, and we have a Walmart. That's about what we have, Walmart and some gas stations. It's the type of place when you're driving through on the interstate, you think, man, who would want to live here? That's where we live, and that's where we minister. But in saying that, and I've been around Christian education for 17 years, Christian education, I think, is maybe kind of the schools that have not closed have kind of weathered the storm and are growing. But for a long time, Christian schools were shrinking and getting smaller. But that has not really been the case at Maranatha, at least for the last 10 years, even in the area that I've just described. The school has grown from about 130 students to about 250 students. And it's not from anything that I have done. And Dr. Anderson probably been around me enough to know that. But it is just trying to keep ourselves in a place where the Lord can bless us. And that's kind of been a phrase that I keep in my mind whenever I make decisions. I want to stay where I know that the Lord is blessing. I want to keep us there. And we've really focused on using the school as a ministry, just like the youth ministry, just like the music ministry, to see kids saved and see kids grow in the Lord. So I call that my filter. And every decision that I make as far as whether or not we accept a student into school, whether or not we dismiss a student, staff that we hire, decisions that we make, does this help students come to know the Lord, and does this help students grow? If it doesn't accomplish that, I always say I work too hard, too long hours. I'm not willing to sacrifice all that and put out the same thing that we could at a public school. And so the idea is to do that and then see them come to church. And boy, over the last 10 years, particularly the last 7 to 8 years, we have seen almost every Sunday morning families coming in, even this past Sunday, just getting reports of teachers. Had a teacher on Saturday that had lunch with a lady that has a preschool student in her school that's not saved, and she's just looking for something different. And I don't know if you have considered Christian education. I know you have a lot of different majors represented here, but strongly encourage you. Sometimes Christian schools can get a bad rap of, Christian only on the name on the door, but the way that the students act is different. And that can be true. There are a lot of Christian schools that are like that. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be like that. And it can really be a mission field. It has been for us, and we continue to see fruit. I think I could spend the whole time just naming names of people in the last 5 years and telling stories of not just students, but actually I think we've seen more fruit in the parents' lives than we've seen in the students. Our music programs really designed to not be a performance necessarily, but to be a service opportunity, and really gearing everything towards that. So I don't know, didn't necessarily plan to give that much information on our school, but those are just things that maybe you'll be a part of the Christian school and someday, and you could share some of these thoughts. That let's really focus in on that ministry side of it. Academics, that's great. You need to have good academics. You need to have a good sports program. I think there's so many things that you can learn through sports that you can't learn in the classroom. But if any of those things ever become an end in themselves, boy, what a waste of time if those things are just to end in themselves. And so at Maranatha, we work very hard and try to not have that happen, which kind of brings me around to when you're trying to impact the lives of other students, you wind up with a lot of opportunities to counsel, opportunities to talk to students. Sometimes it's just a revolving door in my office of young people just with questions, difficulties. I am the odd one at our school. Growing up in a home with a mom and a dad, that's just not at our school. That's just not the way. It's not the norm. Most of these kids are growing up without a mom or a dad in the home. Very difficult home life situations, lots of issues. A lot of names are coming to my mind even right now as I think about those that I've tried to minister to and work with. And when Dr. Anderson asked me, he said, "Hey, can you just share some testimonies, tell about your school?" I really felt like he was asking me to magnify the Lord, because again, I know he's not asking me to magnify myself, because there's nothing. I don't have any special abilities. I think if you were to look at in the dictionary at what does normal mean, average, there'd probably be a picture of me right there. I mean, I am like the average of the average. I know how to do a lot of different things decently well, and find myself sometimes doing things I probably shouldn't be doing, but nobody else was there to do it, so I stepped in and did it, and the Lord helps me out. But I'm willing to try and be used of the Lord and try to magnify Him. So that's why I picked the passage that I did, because this is actually the theme for our school year, so it just fit really well in my mind with what I wanted to try to accomplish. I also should say I don't think anything that I'm going to say here, it's not like I came in thinking, oh, I'm going to share things that these students don't know. But maybe something as someday you might have the opportunity as a school administrator or as a teacher or as a youth worker or as a pastor. You have this desire, this burden, as I said, to see kids grow and come to know the Lord. How do you get people from where they are to where you want them to be? And I love to look through Scripture at people that are able to take people areas where they didn't think they could go, and where they are satisfied where they're at, or they think if I become a Christian, I'm going to be missing out. And we're trying to say, no, you're not going to be missing out. It's the greatest life possible. I think of, I've had a cold here the last couple of weeks, and boy, I tell you what, medicine, I don't know where, it's just like if it tastes bad, they call it medicine. It's just, it all tastes terrible in my opinion. And my wife got something that's supposed to be honey flavored. And I don't know what type of honey that they're talking about, but it did not taste like honey. And I feel like I was thinking as I take it, that's like students sometimes and people, parents that I deal with, they've got problems and you're trying to give them the medicine. You're trying to give them God's word. And it's like they cover their mouth. They won't take it. And where can you find find places in Scripture where you can follow. I feel like I'm just kind of rambling, but I guess that's okay. I think I'm a good follower. I love Dr. Anderson and godly men that you can look to, and you can say, okay, what are they doing? And then I don't have enough confidence to look at them and say, oh, what are they doing wrong? And let me change how they're doing things. No, I look and I say, what are they doing? And let me do exactly what they are doing. Grew up in a Christian home. My dad's a pastor. And I remember growing up, and I really didn't have a choice to follow in the home that I grew up in. If I didn't follow real well, I didn't sit real well, if you know what I mean. I mean, that's the home that I grew up in, loved me enough to discipline, and my dad wasn't going to waste his time on discipline. So, you know, I kind of learned that naturally through the course of difficulties that I found myself in, but following others and looking in Scripture. I love Nehemiah. I almost looked at Nehemiah chapter 2. You look at Nehemiah and you see a group of people sitting around in ruins. The walls are around them. Matter of fact, Nehemiah says that he can't even take his horse through the ruins. And then you see a verse where the people say, let us rise up and build. And trying to figure out how in the world do you get people to get out of the mess that they get themselves in and say, let's rise up and build. And when you look at David, in Psalms chapter 34, if you know anything, I'm not going to turn over to 1 Samuel chapter, I believe it's chapter 22, but this passage of Scripture, if you look there at the little introductory marks there, it comes from right after a time when David probably wasn't real proud of himself for what he did. If you remember the story there, he runs from Saul. Saul's trying to kill him. And he runs away from Saul, and he actually goes to a priest, the priest there of the Lord, and he lies to the priest. He tells the priest that he's on a mission from Saul. I mean, can you imagine going to your pastor and lying to your pastor? But that's what he does. And then to make matters worse, he takes the sword of Goliath, and then he winds up in Gath. And I'm assuming in a Bible college that most of us probably realize that's probably not a place that you'll want to wind up with the sword of Goliath in Gath, in his hometown. People might recognize you, and that's exactly what happens. And he just really gets afraid. He thinks he's going to die, and he starts foaming at the mouth and drooling, and he escapes from that. And I don't know if you have ever gotten yourself in a mess. And boy, once you get out of that mess, you're so thankful that you could get out of that mess and that the Lord helped you. You want to tell everybody about what the Lord has done to help you get, even if it's bad, even if it's negative, the mess that you wound up in, because you don't want other people to wind up in that mess. And I think that's what David is talking about here in Psalms chapter 34. My dad actually calls it survivor's euphoria, and he actually relates this to the military and to police officers that have survived a really traumatic event. And I think for David, it's pretty close for that, where he literally thought he was going to die because of some very foolish mistakes that he made. And then considering his audience, if you look there in Psalms chapter 22, if you know the people that he's writing this to, it's people that are in distress, people that are in debt, people that are discontented. These are his followers. When I read those, I thought, man, this sounds like the interviews that I do with parents today. I mean, they're in debt. They don't have any money. They want to put their kids in Christian school. The wife and the husband are split up, and the husband doesn't want to pay anything, and it's stressful. And again, all that saying, like this passage of Scripture to me, when I read this for the beginning of our school year, I was just like, man, this is exactly what I want to accomplish. So maybe you know someone like this, and I just have five quick points to hit as we go through this. So I know we want to be out of here on time with lunch coming up, and so I'll make some remarks here on some points, but I'll make sure that we get them all in. But let's stand and let's just read the first three verses here, and I know you guys are memorizing the rest of it, so I may not read all of the verses, but we'll stand here, read the first three verses, then I'll pray, and then we'll get into this. So the Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to speak. Lord, just pray that you would give me the words to say. Lord, help us as we desire, Lord, I am sure in this group as well, that we desire to magnify you, to make you big in the eyes of the lost world around us. And then, Lord, even in our own lives, Lord, as sometimes we are tempted to doubt and to be discouraged. Lord, help us remember how big you are. Lord, we get discouraged because we focus on ourselves, because we don't focus on you. Lord, pray that you would help us, and Lord, help these truths that you taught David to resonate in us, and Lord, that we could learn from them, apply them to our lives, that, Lord, we could help others come to know you and walk with you. Ask these things in your name. Amen. All right, you can be seated. See if we can get that up. I thought I should show a picture of my family. Actually, it wasn't necessarily me. It was Kristen that wanted to make sure that you saw our family. But there are six of us. I have four children. Luke is the oldest. Then my daughter, Kaylin. And then Kristen. And then Haley. Haley might be here someday as a student. I don't know where the Lord will lead her. All my children seem to go to different colleges. So I'm not sure that will happen. But I would be glad if it did. And then my wife, Jennifer. And we like to fish. So there's a picture of us. And we're out trout fishing in Missouri. If you ever want to trout fish, come to Missouri. We've got several trout parks right around us. So get that picture there for you to see, and then magnify the Lord. So five ways to magnify the Lord here. Number one, build confidence in God in the lives of others. If you look at verse number one, I just feel like that's what David is trying to do here. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Doesn't matter whether it's good times or bad times. And I think that's really a difference that the world can see whenever you have a Christian who is confident that God is always in charge no matter what. And you think about what David just went through and some humility that he has to be thinking here, as he was not confident in the Lord. He was not rejoicing whenever he was foaming at the mouth and drooling all over himself, but he's learned from that. And he is, you know, mistakes that we make. I deal with a lot of students who have, you know, difficulties in their past. Well, I say nothing has to be wasted. You don't have to waste that. You can learn from that. And you see David, just the confidence that he has in the Lord, telling the people there that he is going to praise God continually through the good times, through the bad times. I know in our family, we've had some rough times. My mom and dad have both had strokes in the last 3 years, and things have not been what we would always think of as normal around our home. But I'm thankful that I have a father who loves the Lord and is always confident that God is in charge. I grew up in a home like that. But you have to remember, the people that we deal with in the world, they don't see that. And their confidence is in if there's money in the bank and if the day is going well, if things are working out for them. But that's going to change. And we know that. But we have to work to help build confidence in them that God is always in control. He's always in charge. He will always do what is best. I wish there was a better phrase sometimes. Best is a comparison term. It's not even a comparison when you look at God's way and you look at the alternative. But I don't know of a better word to use than to just say God's word is best. But build confidence in others, or in God. I remember in my life, I struggled with this when I was the age of most of you in here. I always like to be in charge, and I like to work things out myself. Hesitate to use the word manipulate, but if I could make things work out for myself, I would do that. I remember when I was felt like the Lord was pushing on me, drawing me to go to college. And I worked at a factory. There was 800 of us that worked there. And I thought, well, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to go to college and way up in northern Wisconsin. And I'm going to go up there. I'm going to buy a house. I'm going to get a job and move the whole family up. That would scare most people. But for me, I thought, well, you know, that's what the Lord wants me to do. And so I drive all the way up there. And then I get there and I'm trying to work out my plan and buy a house and get a job. And like the first person, well, when I first showed up, I mean, it was in the middle of nowhere. The town I lived in Missouri, I thought was small. This was even smaller. And then they tell me that you're going to be here 7 or 8 years as a student. There's no job for you here, and you know, it's really going to be rough. And so I went back thinking, man, this this is not going to work out well for me. And really all I needed to do was just get my hands off of the steering wheel and just let God be in charge and walk through the doors as he opened them. And I told this to Dr. Anderson and the group at the table there, but I go back to work. I'm 700 miles away and I work the late shift. There's an overlap between first shift and third shift that I was on. And a gentleman was there, and he was telling stories about deer hunting, and I like to deer hunt in Wisconsin. I thought, well, I'm going to listen to his story about deer hunting in Wisconsin. And he was the type of guy that nobody liked to be around. He just wasn't a pleasant person to be around sometimes. And as he finished, he called me over, and he said, hey, I noticed you were listening to my story. I said, yeah, I'm interested in moving to Wisconsin. And he said, well, what school are you going to? And I said, you would never know. There's no point in telling you the name of that. Oh, he said, tell me where it is. And I told him, and he proceeded to tell me that he had a home for sale 5 miles from the college, 700 miles away. And the Lord blessed, and I was able to buy the house, and I was able to get a job and finished in 4 years. But it all started with just getting my hands off of the steering wheel there of my life and having confidence that God's way is best. Number two, give a personal testimony. Opportunities to share. You look down through the verses there as David talks in verse number 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, saved him from all his troubles. I'm sure he probably told about drooling all over himself and about how foolish he was in what he had done, but yet the Lord saved him. It's really hard to magnify God if you don't have a personal testimony. Of God at work in your life. I could stand up here and try to talk to you guys about going to Disney World, and I could try to hype you up for going to Disney World. But, you know, I probably have a pretty hard time because I've never been. I don't know what it looks like. I can imagine. I can think about what it looks like, but I really don't know. But that picture earlier about trout fishing, some of you think, I'd never trout fish. Let me talk to you for a little bit. I could probably talk you into taking a family vacation. I could hit all the highlights of it. It's a lot of fun. Even if you don't like to fish, it's a lot of fun. I could probably tell you about that. And when it comes to magnifying God, look and be aware of God at work in your life. And don't spend your life trying to make everything easy. I talk to students, they come in, they want to complain about a teacher, they want to complain about an assignment, or I have teachers that come in, and they want to complain about a student, and they want to complain about how difficult something is. And I'm always, maybe it's because I deal with problems so much, but I'm always looking at it differently. I'm trying to say, hey, I could step in and I could help and I could make things easier, but maybe the Lord is trying to teach you something that you're not going to learn any other way than through a difficult time. And I know that's a simple thought, but I'd say today, some of you in here, there could be some real difficulties that you could be facing, and you might, maybe there are difficulties that you brought upon yourself. Maybe there are difficulties that were outside of your control, but the Lord can help you and teach you through that, and then use that to magnify his name whenever you try to impact others. I wish that we could just read verses of scripture to people that are struggling, and they would just be like, oh, I've never thought of that before. Oh my goodness, I'm gonna ask the Lord into my heart. I'm going to take another step spiritually. But it typically doesn't happen like that. But whenever you can give a personal testimony, people are moved by that. Share one story. I know my time goes quickly here, but I remember sitting across from a student, and he's a high school student, and he actually lived at my house. Many students have stayed over at my house oftentimes, we were really close, but no matter how close I tried to be to him, his dad was always the one that he wanted his dad's approval. And I remember him, after about the third or fourth time of his dad promising that he was going to go to a basketball game and come and watch, somehow he found out that his dad didn't even buy a ticket, but was telling him that he was going to come. And he was crying in my office, Mr. Carnahan, why would my dad, do this to me? Well, I tell you what, I don't know if you think about what you would say in a situation like that. I mean, I'm like praying, Lord, I don't know what this is like. I remember just thinking and asking the Lord, and I felt like the Lord just kind of brought to me, his name was JJ. And I said, JJ, maybe the reason that the Lord is allowing you to go through this difficulty is so you won't do this to your kids someday. you know, maybe that's why, because JJ always said he wasn't going to be like his dad. But, you know, I don't know what difficult circumstances you might be going through, but the Lord can certainly use those to magnify his name. Provide direct instruction. I actually taught this to a group of teachers, and one of the things we were hitting was, you know, as teachers, we needed to tell the students what we wanted them to learn. And, you know, as you look in these verses of Scripture, as you look down, look at my notes here, verses 12 through 15, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. If we're going to magnify God's name, if we're going to help others, we've got to tell them what God's Word says. We have to know what it says, and we've got to tell them what it says. Might seem loving to not say the truth to them, but we need to tell them what God's Word says in order to magnify His name. Then the last two here that I had down was model the attributes of God for others. As I read through this passage of Scripture, verse number one, I see that he is going to be steadfast. I see humility. I don't have time to go through others that I've written down, but I see all types of attributes of God that David is modeling for those that are in debt, those that are in distress, those that are discontent. I see him modeling those in the lives of those that I look back at over the past several years at Maranatha. Modeling, you know, we don't get angry and just blow up about things. You know, we're not moody. You know, one day we can't approach you, and the next day, you know, maybe we can approach you. That's how the world lives, but that's not how God. That's not how Jesus modeled for us living. He loved others. We love your theme here that life is for service. Being a servant, you know, you really see David. Matter of fact, the last point I'll just go ahead and put up there: be small, so that God can be. I mean, if you think about the whole passage of Scripture. David doesn't talk about killing Goliath. David doesn't build himself up. The whole passage is about God and about magnifying His name so that others will see God and be drawn to Him. So I don't know what career choice for very many of you in here, a few of you I know, but I know wherever you go, that whether it's preaching or whether it's like I was working in a factory, there are people around us that need to know who God is, and they are discontent, and they are in debt, and they are distressed, and the Bible gives such great blueprints, recipes, sometimes I call them, for us to follow to magnify His name so that others could see Him and grow in Him. So I just challenge you this morning to think about ways that you can magnify, ways you can make God look big to your classmates, even to your teachers, teachers to students, because as we look to serve, magnifying God is to me like the key. Because we don't have the answers. God has the answers. I'm going to close in prayer and just ask the Lord that He would help us understand this passage. Heavenly Father, thank You for Psalms 34. Thank You for the life of David. Lord, this passage was written so long ago, but Lord, the people that it was written to, at least as that David spoke it to, are with us today. And Lord, just as David had a burden to see those people know and experience God as he had, Lord, help us to have that same passion, that same burden, and Lord, follow the path that David followed here in helping to lift Your name up before others. Lord, if there's times when we're not magnifying You, Lord, I pray that You'd convict us of those times. And Lord, help us to learn from those experiences, Lord, that we might better magnify You. Lord, as I think about tomorrow and the next day, Lord, it's easy to forget what is said in a chapel. But Lord, Your Word, Lord, will stay with us, and that's what changes. And Lord, I pray that Psalms 34 would just resonate in us and cause us to know You more, that we might magnify You more in the lives of others. I ask these things in Your name. Amen.